Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. I'm your host, John Paul Hurley, on Twitter at FFHercules. This is episode 199. This is kind of exciting because we should probably figure out something special to do for episode 200, right?
Yeah, I guess. What could we possibly be doing?
We got to do something. We did something cool for episode 100. We had like 100 people like give us their sound bites. And the most memorable one was, I can't remember who it was. Like, I think it was Salvatore.
Sal? Yeah.
But he's like, I think he had been drinking or something and it was hilarious. He's like, 100 years, Dynasty Trade Calculator. Congratulations, you guys. 100 years is quite a hurdle. And it's like, it's 100 episodes, dude. Not 100 years. It was amazing. I laughed my butt off, and I was so happy that Mosier left it in the cut. It was amazing.
I have to go back and listen to that again.
Anyway, getting to business, joining me, my trusty, rusty co-host, Izzy Elkafoss, in for his 199th episode. Izzy, what's going on, man?
Not much. Just woke up, brushed my teeth, haven't had breakfast yet.
We got to provide some context on that now. Why don't you take it away?
I'm embarrassed for you. But I guess
I'm embarrassed for you. That's kind of funny. And actually, maybe we'll use Waylon to break the tie.
No.
So before we get into it, joining us again for his second consecutive episode in the year 2021, Nicholas Waylon. 2021 is already looking better than 2020. What's up, Nick?
Nothing, man. I mean, it's, thinking back to all those episodes, it's my second one in a row, but, you know, I'm back. It was a fun, fun graphic Mo put together. I appreciate that. And a song.
I did that. If Mo had done it, it would have looked really good. I did it. I enjoyed like the comical, like really bad Photoshop look.
What was going back? What was your handle before it was Hercules? I remember when you changed it. Me and Izzy laughed at you for it. What was it before that?
It was at DTC underscore John H.
That's way better than Hercules.
Hercules was actually Izzy's suggestion, and I'm like, I'll do it temporarily, and it just kind of stayed.
He was doing, he was trying to figure out something. What were you doing? You were around the Hercules. You were talking about Hercules, and I said, just put it as a U instead of spelling it correctly.
No, maybe. I don't know.
You think you were going to do, you were going to do FF Hercules with an E, and I'm like, we'll just do it with a U.
I'll have to go back and look, because I think the entire concept all along was with a U, but I'll have to, maybe it's recorded on an episode or something.
Yeah, maybe. But
we'll have to clip cast it.
So I found out something yesterday that I had no idea. Ray was disappointed as well to find out this is actually a thing. But Nick actually, now that I look at Nick, he totally strikes me as one of these. But I'm going to ask you anyways. Nick, do you brush your teeth before breakfast or after breakfast?
After breakfast.
Yeah. See,
welcome to the team.
Now that I look at him, he looks like an after breakfast guy. Yeah.
Just filthy, welcome to the team. Wait, before you get into it, Izzy, Waylon, why is there any reason why you brush your teeth after breakfast?
Well, you're going to dirty up your teeth, and it's not going to taste good the first few bites. Now, it depends on the time. Like, if there's going to be like a half hour to hour, then I'll brush beforehand.
Sure.
If you're going to like wake up, brush your teeth, and then eat right away, it makes no sense.
Or imagine like for coffee drinkers, like you're going to brush your teeth before you have a cup of coffee. Like, that would be absolutely disgusting. Orange juice, anything you drink would be awful after brushing your teeth. Except maybe water.
And you want to get like the stains and stuff out of your teeth. That's why you brush.
Yeah. And like all the crap that's stuck in your teeth, you know, that you had from breakfast.
Can I have to tell you guys, here's one of my like two like life hacks. Okay. And this is with teeth. People naturally hate flossing. right? I mean, do you guys floss or do you do it like the one time a year?
I love floss. In fact, I floss while I floss. You know, the floss dance.
Oh, nice.
I love flossing. Both of them.
Izzy, do you floss?
Periodically. Maybe
once a year. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the some of my mom's a dental assistant and she got me a water pick. So it shoots water in between there. Yeah. So you don't have to floss, but it's cordless. So you charge it. You just set it in the shower. You fill it up with shower water and it doesn't matter if water kind of gets somewhere, you just spit it out and you're done. So there's never an excuse not to floss because you're already there and you're like, and you're done. It's like amazing.
More like water sick. That's awesome.
Right. So life hack right there. Boom.
I like it. I'm going to get me a water pick. By the way, this episode is sponsored by Water Pick. Who makes that?
I have no clue.
Izzy wanted to be sponsored by Gardetto's, but we don't want to have a sponsor that makes your breath all garlicky. We want to have a sponsor that makes your breath fresh and cleans your teeth. So thank you for sponsoring this episode. They paid us a ton of money. Water Pick. Now you'll hear a sweet jingle produced by our producer, Jonathan Mosher.
Water pick. Release this food from whence it sticks. Water pick. Blast my mouth with toothy bliss.
Thank you for that. Water pick. Go get yourself one. If you like to have water in your teeth and you want to pick some stuff out, water pick. I'm pretty sure that's their slogan. Well, you guys, it's time for us to sink our teeth into this podcast. We've got a cool topic, actually. I'm excited about this one. A lot of people are talking about re-ranking 2020 rookie draft class, and that sounds all fine and dandy, but we get an opportunity to rank the 2020 draft class mixed in with the 2021 draft class. I know some other websites have like a term for this, but what do you guys want to call this? Like combining these two draft classes? It's going to be like
merging.
Yeah, because they're all, where are you going to put them in between? You're putting things in between.
Your legs. I like this. So we're going to call this Merch Simpson. And what we're going to do is take it position at a time. We don't want to do like all of them in one episode because I don't think there's going to be enough time to discuss them all. But so we're going to start off with quarterbacks. And what we're going to do is kind of go down the line and rank the 2020 quarterback draft class mixed in with the 2021 quarterback draft class. This could be invaluable information for your upcoming rookie drafts. I know this is pre-NFL draft, but it's going to be kind of interesting to see where we have these guys mixed in with the last year's draft class. So let's get this started. So who wants to start? Oh, Nick. Yeah, he had his finger on his nose.
So my top one would be Trevor Lawrence. I know some people like to see it proven in the NFL first, but he's just been, I think, pretty remarkable in terms of living up to the hype, delivering. Has he been perfect? No, he's been pressing some in college to make plays. But also, like, if people want to dock him for 2020, do they realize what he lost? I mean, he lost T. Higgins, Justin Ross got injured, missed the whole year. Frank Ladson missed most of the year. And the other receivers, I can't remember. Why am I losing his name right now? The other really good freshman, or soon to be sophomore, was missed most of the year as well. So he lost his top four options, I would say. Well, three for sure this year, and then Higgins left, and still produced a really good season. So Lawrence, if you're not familiar, great arm talent, big in terms of size. Think of like a Josh Allen type of size, but he's also really athletic. And the one thing that we're chasing right now in fantasy is quarterbacks that can buy time and can get points running the football, and he can do that too.
Yeah, and Izzy, let's go around the horn doing our number one. We'll go 1-1-1, 2-2-2, and so on and so forth, and I'll just keep track of each one of yours, and we'll recap at the end. So Izzy, why don't you give me your number one?
Yeah, so I think I would definitely would have said Trevor Lawrence had Justin Herbert not had the year that he had. So the thing that's amazing about Herbert is, well, one, we didn't expect this. But two, he was the most hurried quarterback in the league. He was pressured on 27% of his passes, or his dropbacks. And for him to have the season that he had in that environment, now I get it, he has Keenan Allen, but he has Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, and Mike Williams. It's not like he's got you know, the Tampa Bay receivers, right? So it's something to be said with an organization that has been, I'm not a big fan of Anthony Lynn either. So I feel like Herbert came in with lower expectations. He wasn't pegged at, I mean, obviously, if he would have come out in 2019, he would have arguably been the number one pick, and likely are, you know, jostling for first overall with Kyler Murray in dynasty drafts. But to have the season that he had under that sort of situation is incredible to me. I just don't know how Trevor Lawrence can come in and outperform that. So can Herbert sophomore slump? Sure. I think it's less likely given how unfortunate his situation was. It's not like he was put into a phenomenal situation and he just took what was given.
Yeah.
So he exceeded my expectations. I'm amazed that he was able to do what he did, given the circumstances. So he's number one for me. And I hate to say it's not close, but based on the situation in 2020, I'd have to say it's pretty close to not close, if that makes sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all. But
so, yeah, it's Justin Herbert. You got to give it to the guy that's actually played too. So I don't want to get into the, well, I've seen him play, but I think given the context of everything, it's, I've seen what he's been able to do. And I've seen enough of where Trevor Lawrence has the potential to be better than Justin Herbert. I just don't know how I can ignore what he did in 2020 just to put Trevor Lawrence's potential there. So going Herbert.
I can. I'm with Waylon. I'm putting Trevor Lawrence at number one. And mine's less about what we've seen from Herbert, because I think Herbert's probably the guy you want to have on your team going into 2021. But after the NFL draft happens, and if there's any sort of private behind closed doors combine, and if there's any way that Trevor Lawrence decides to participate, I don't know at what capacity that would be, because I think it's just fully canceled. But after the NFL draft happens and when rookie drafts ramp up, like, Trevor Lawrence's hype is going to be unbearable. Like, we're not going to be able to tolerate the amount of hype this guy's getting. The potential and his ceiling that he has is enough mixed in with that hype to catapult him, at least in drafts, ADP, above Herbert. So I'm banking on that hype. I don't know that, like, I think Trevor Lawrence could be...
Are you ranking this based on value, or how are you ranking this?
Yeah, basically, like, I am projecting Trevor Lawrence to be ahead of Herbert in, like, value, rankings, ADP, everything. So it depends on, like,
okay,
my answer
would
be
yes for
everything.
I'm kind of going this based on who I'd rather have right now, not necessarily value. Are we having a different conversation, or is that
yeah,
just
maybe
kind of
I mean, because of the value, I'd rather have Trevor Lawrence right now too, because I know what's going to happen. You know, we've seen it. Like, I shouldn't even say we've seen it, because, like, this is maybe Andrew Luck began to scratch the surface when he was a prospect coming out, but Trevor Lawrence is going to be, it's going to be difficult for us to withstand the amount of hype he's going to be getting on social media and every outlet possible. So I want Trevor Lawrence on my team, and, you know, maybe this summer when the hype is at a pinnacle, I would look to acquire somebody like Herbert, Herbert Plus, for my Trevor Lawrence share. But it would be really hard to sell a guy before you saw him, you know. But I want Lawrence at number one, and it's purely because of the hype and value. Is he?
Okay, interesting.
Okay, who is your number two, Nicholas Whalen?
So my two is Herbert. So I mean, as Izzy had said. What's interesting is I was really against Herbert. I didn't see it for a long time. And then in my eval for the graduates, one of my reports that I do, I begin to see him progress finally at Oregon. And I was like, okay, well, maybe he could be better than I thought. So he rose up a little bit. But I did not expect what happened last year. I'm not sure that many people expected what happened last year. And another point is that you didn't bring up was his age. He's 22, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, people want to talk about, well, you know, Joe Burrow's 24. That's a big difference to me. I mean, in 2 years from now, what's Justin Herbert going to produce versus that? I mean, 31 touchdowns and 10 interceptions in only 15 games. And I don't know if
yeah,
he played
as a young rookie.
Oof. I don't know if he played all 15 games, because I remember there was that Tyrod thing. I mean, or on a
no, he missed at least the first game, and I think it was the second game when
he came in, right? I don't
sabotaged
know.
Tyrod, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how it worked, but either way, I mean, think
it was an hour before the game, they punctured his lung with a needle.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So think he could have 34 touchdowns right now. You know, what would we think about him then? I mean, that's basically, you know, closer towards a Josh Allen type of season. So yeah, I mean, and he can run, and we're talking about the weapons and stuff around him. As you had said, Izzy, the one thing that bothers me is Brandon Staley just got hired there. And in terms of his staff, and is it going to be quarterback friendly, developing a young quarterback or not? That's the other part to kind of think about here. But in terms of him and T-Law, which has kind of been the debate here, it's not that I really like Justin Herbert in fantasy. I like his value. But when you think of that high-end ceiling, you know, it's like I can't imagine right now a quarterback that's come out recently that I would take over Trevor Lawrence.
I agree.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. Like I said, I would it would be Trevor Lawrence if Herbert didn't do what he did. So and I get Hurley's point. I think he's right that Trevor Lawrence will carry enough hype to where he's the guy. And I don't think it necessarily will be hard to justify. I think come June, July, August, as we approach the season, I think just the Lawrence hype train will be completely out of control. So I get it. He's my number two. And if I'm going with Hurley's thought process, I'd probably have him at one. But if I'm going like who I think is going to be, who I'm putting my money on to be the better quarterback long term, I gotta take Herbert here. So, but Lawrence too, for sure.
And Izzy, that's you kind of sparked some thought too. Like right now we're kind of in a little bit of a tunnel, you know, like we're just looking at the 2020 and 2021 draft classes. But I think that Trevor Lawrence has enough legs around his hype to push as like the dynasty QB2 overall, you know, right behind Mahomes. I don't really know who else would stop him.
Before he's taken a snap?
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's happening. That won't happen.
How high do you think is high for him? Like, where do you think he'll top out in like ADP or value this summer?
He'll top out at 5.
So you got Kyler and Josh and Deshaun ahead of him, or which one of those two?
Personally, my tier two. So my tier one is Mahomes. My tier two is Allen and Watson.
And then Trevor.
And then Kyler, Lamar, and
Oh, you have Trevor behind those two. Yeah.
Yeah. So Herbert, Kyler, Lamar in that group.
You don't have Stafford in there?
Stafford's in a tier of his own. He's never ranked because he's.
I was gonna. I mean, that would. Just,
it wouldn't be.
I mean, he listens.
I got some tiers for Stafford.
He's gonna yell at you.
He's never ranked. He's just king. He's got the king tier, you know. He's always king tier.
Right. And, you know, that's an interesting point, Izzy. I mean, think about this Kyler hype that we have. He hasn't taken that step. You know.
Oh, and, dude! Second half of the season, terrible.
And everyone kind of hypes him up. I think almost based on. He's going to, and he just hasn't. He's kind of stayed exactly where he's at. And people think that, you know, with Kingsbury, like it's just going to come together. Well, Kingsbury hasn't been a really successful head coach anywhere. He got fired in college, you know, and we just thinking he's going to be like this guru. I mean, I think Murray probably took a little bit of a step this year because he got, I don't know, DeAndre Hopkins on his team. But I don't know that I see the progression that I, or of the potential I saw at Oklahoma. So he's definitely lower in my rankings, although we're not talking about him right now. I just wanted to mention it.
Yeah, kind of was. It was on topic of what we spun off into. So, but yeah, I truly believe that Trevor's going to push that second tier. You know, honestly, I think he's going to push it pretty hard. And I think he'll be in that conversation this summer. So we'll see. We'll see where the projections end up.
Question, who kind of off topic, but still quarterbacks. Who do you think the bottom six, so the least pressured players per dropback, percentage wise?
I'd go like guys with quick releases. So maybe like a Tom Brady. Good offensive line plus quick release would be the least pressured.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
He's not in the top six, but he's pretty close. Aaron Rodgers is 2. 14%.
Ryan Tannehill?
No. Actually, not. He's in the. He's near the bottom, but not in the top bottom six.
I'm thinking based on scheme. When you get that split zone with that kind of that sift block and the guy leaking out in the flat, if he doesn't block that scheme, it doesn't tell the defense to rush upfield. They're guarding laterally. So I'm thinking Tennessee, San Francisco, the Rams, the Packers, etc. Now I know all those guys aren't the same in terms of talent, But in terms of what the scheme does to make the defense not run up the field and pressure you, those would be the schemes I would think of.
How about Breeze? I'm thinking along the lines of Waylon, because he's got like a really short short to intermediate check down city.
Yeah, he's third.
Okay.
So I'll give it to you guys. So
Rivers is check down city, but he's, he had a good offensive line. I'm going to guess Rivers too.
Yep. He's four.
Okay.
The easy one this year was Big Ben.
Oh, yeah.
He got the ball out quicker than anybody. He's five. Tua was actually one. He was only pressured on 13% of his dropbacks.
But that does suck. But like, I don't know if you guys remember midway through the season, but there, Tua was kind of talking about how covered his wide receivers are. And so while Tua is the least pressured, I think this is probably the reason why. It's because defense has kind of figured out the way to play him. They're basically stacking the secondaries. But out of all of the, I can't remember the exact stat, I'd have to look it up, but out of all the teams, Tua's wide receivers were the least open. I don't know exactly how that's quantitative, but as far as like how much open they are by, you know, inches and feet or whatever, he had the least open wide receivers in the NFL or something like that. They had like a PFF grade for each of the receivers, and they're all like 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yeah. But Kyler Murray is on that list.
Near the top?
He's the sixth. He's number six and the least pressured.
Wow, you wouldn't expect him to be that high, being a scrambler.
For a guy that holds onto the ball,
yeah,
and scrambles to be pressured. He's amongst the Daltons and the Bradys, and the Big Bens and the Rivers and the Breezes. Yeah, so I mean, for him to not, his start to the season makes sense with that sort of protection.
Yeah,
but it doesn't necessarily make sense. The second half of the season. But I just wanted to throw that in there. Found that interesting based on
Nick's comment. That is interesting.
But yeah, let's keep going.
So I think I was last. Mine is obviously Herbert, and it's for all the aforementioned reasons. I don't think I need to go into too much more detail on that. He's a super safe asset. You've got to like what you've seen, and it's he's got to be like one of the more safe quarterbacks out there, you know? So love Herbert. I lucked into him in so many drafts. I feel so good about it.
Are you guys worried? I mean, I don't want to be worried about a sophomore slump, but I'm always worried about it with quarterbacks.
Nope, not at all.
Just the full year of tape for these coaches. I mean, it just, the second go around for these guys is always seems to be better.
It is, but like to Waylon's point, Herbert's age, like he's still kind of developing, you know, like I think that he can take another step forward unfortunately, it's the most cliche statement of all time, but the game's slowing down more for him as he gets more under his belt.
Yeah.
Like he's still developing. So I'm not worried.
Yeah.
I mean, I worry about it some. I mean, cause I think it's fair. You want to think of scheme. You want to think of player. Everyone has tendencies, and defenses are going to study that a ton. Look at Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson was not the same player this year. And people said that. And, you know, people hate pessimism in general. They just hate it. But it's reality. You can't always look at upside and potential. Because even like with T-Law, we're talking about it, like, because there's a whole nother middle ground and downside that we just don't want to talk about that's there. And with quarterbacks that are young, does he always throw to the right more often? Does he check down too often? Where do his eyes go pre-snap, post-snap? Like, those things all matter, and defenses will study that.
Well, luckily, Herbert's tendencies are to throw really good fucking balls all the time, whether he's pressured or not. So, like, I don't know how you defend that, but I agree with you. I'm sure they're going to pinpoint things and scheme against it. You know, like everybody thinks they're Bill Belichick now. So anyway, we can move on to number three. Waylon, you're up for who is your third quarterback mixing in the classes in the merge?
This is where it gets really tough, in my opinion, because you could go a few different ways. I'm going to have Justin Fields here because Burrow and Tua, in my opinion, didn't have the seasons that people thought they did. I don't think that they were necessarily quote unquote bad for rookie quarterback, but I don't think they were good. So they're in this middle ground for me, and I'm going to take my second quarterback that runs, that honestly on film, I know this year is what it is. I mean, it was just a weird college football year. I liked his film a lot more than I thought I would. And for a guy that didn't play as a freshman very much, who can run, who can buy time, who honestly is probably the Josh Allen / Cam Newton that people wanted Cam Newton to be, and Justin Fields, he'll be my third guy for sure.
Nice. Izzy, what do you got?
It's Joe Burrow for me. Kind of with the, did he play incredibly well? No. But you saw glimpses of LSU, like a lot of them. It wasn't just like every once in a while, I'd be like, oh, Joe. I thought he played well considering Cincinnati's offensive line.
Where was he at on the quarterback pressured list? I mean, it seems like he was 100% pressured. But you said Herbert was number one, so.
No, Herbert was six. Joe Burrow was 11. Yeah, so here's the thing. What's interesting is out of the players that were he was 11th, but he had the lowest amount of pocket time. So pocket time is essentially getting the ball out or pocket collapsing. So
can you go over that again? Is it what was his pocket time?
2.3 seconds.
Where did that rank?
That ranks behind well, so a guy like Big Ben under gets the pressure, ball quick, yeah. So his pocket time is low, even though his pocket doesn't always collapse, right? So what you have to do is take a stat like pocket time and blend it with pressure. So if his pocket time is 2.3 seconds and he's only getting pressured, and he's 11th in pressures, that means that if you look at the guys ahead of him, Carson Wentz was 2.6, Kirk Cousins was 2.6, Herbert, once again, low, so low pocket time, high pressure, 2.4. So you can basically look and say Carson Wentz's pressures are likely due to him holding onto the ball too much. Kirk Cousins holding onto the ball too much. But if you look at the Joe Burrows, Sam Darnold, Justin Herbert, it's more pocket collapsing than it is getting the ball out quick.
Can I add in one stat to that?
Hmm.
So what you said, like 11th most pressures or pressure percentage, whatever. Mm-hmm. He was 27th in the NFL in sack percentage. So in terms of the pressures, you know, maybe they're there or the design or the offensive line, but he got sacked a ton. And that's a kid that took a ton of hits. And, you know, I feel bad for what happened to him and getting injured, because I think injury is the worst part of this game. But I can't imagine. You had said you saw flashes, Izzy. And I'm really curious as to where, because Joe Burrow is a volume quarterback his rookie year, and people that are hyped about him, it's purely based on volume. I mean, he had so many attempts within 10 games. He had 404 in 10 games, and he left one of the games. I mean, that's
why wouldn't you like volume though? That should be a good thing,
because the efficiency isn't there. He was 24th, I think, in the NFL in quarterback rating. He was 25th in yards per attempt. He was, oh boy, what was this one?
Yeah, but that has a lot to do with pocket time and pressure.
Does it?
You know, you can't, but yeah, I mean, you can't get the ball downfield if you're not getting time to get the ball downfield.
If
you know what I mean?
If he's throwing short, okay, because he's getting pressured, but he's still 27th in sacks, that doesn't make sense.
Well, he's 27th in sacks. What do you mean, 27 sacks per?
27th in percentage of getting sacked.
Dude, he got sacked over 3 times a game.
Yes, but if it's short passes, you shouldn't get sacked as much.
No, but it's not like every pass of his is short. But I'm saying on his dropbacks where the play is a 5-step or a 7-step or whatever the case may be,
he's getting sacked.
It's a longer developing play, he's likely going to get sacked. You know what I mean? So I think
but he's not throwing on time then.
I know they did. I'm guessing they did their best to try to blend in short passing with, you know, stretching the field with intermediate passing, and I'm guessing that. You'd have to go back and watch every single play, but I'm guessing on the longer developing plays that were called, those are the plays that he's getting sacked. But that's a play calling thing, right? And if your offensive line can't protect on those intermediate and long developing plays, you're going to get your quarterback hurt. I mean, he got hit so often.
He did, but I mean, he got hit in college too. He took too many hits in college. That was the thing, scrambling. He took too many hits. I'm just bringing it up that, to me, if you throw short, you shouldn't get sacked or hit as much, and he did. The other part here in terms of efficiency, because you talked about volume, JP, was his touchdown percentage. He was 29th in touchdown percentage. So you want to think of this overall, where we're worried about the sophomore slump for Herbert. What's it going to look like for Burrow when he was literally just check down city, still getting hit, he's come off a major injury, and I don't know. Is offensive line going to get better? Are we really going to believe in their head coach, Zach Taylor? Because right now, the jury's really out. And the quarterback didn't do what we thought he did. Was it Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, you know, and that crew and Joe Brady, or was it Joe Burrow?
You got to be in it for the long haul if you're going to pick Burrow here. Like, Burrow will rebound and he'll recover that value. And maybe I'll just do mine really quick, Izzy. And I know you have some final thoughts too, but my third is Burrow. And the reason is evaluating Burrow versus Herbert the entire season. That was one of our poll studies that Izzy did every single week during the regular season. And while Burrow was healthy, Burrow was almost always, this is in spite of Herbert completely crushing every single week, Burrow was still like holding a value lead over Herbert from week to week until he was injured. And it was like towards the end of it, it was kind of like a little here, a little there. But did Burrow ever lose his lead before his injury, pre-injury?
I think 1 week briefly.
And then he came back. So knowing that people value Burrow the way that he does, even while they saw what Herbert was doing, it gives me some confidence that he's going to regain all that and kind of like rebound back to the point where he was pre-injury. But again, like Waylon's point, coming off major injury, coaching changes, hopefully the Bengals decide to use all of their draft picks on offensive linemen, but I know that can change some things. There's a lot of variables. But I think if you're going to invest in Burrow this high in your rankings, you got to be in it for the long haul. You got to be a COVID-19 long hauler.
I mean, you also do worry about, you know, we remember Derek Carr, you know, David Carr. Getting hit a ton.
Oh, dude, yeah.
In a bad situation. And that's what's happened thus far. And okay, let's say he doesn't come back 100% with the knee. Let's say he's 85% in terms of athletic ability. Okay, still athletic. Does that make him more hit? You know what I mean? Is he going to be tentative? I mean, those are all things to think about. That's why, to me, he fell down further on my list than he would have if he was just healthy.
So here's the thing. You, based on this, you got to give Justin Herbert a lot more credit than you're giving him. So you're penalizing Burrow, but you're not really giving Herbert the credit considering what he was through and what he had to deal with, right?
He's second on my list, and I really like Justin Fields.
Okay, so it's more of a Justin Fields thing than a Joe Burrow thing, yeah. Would you say?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Burrow's not even my fourth guy, though, is he? So you can debate that one, too.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. So Burrow's three for me. We'll get to, I'm interested to see who five is for Nick, or four for Nick. So, yeah, Burrow's three for me. Once again, it's more if you would have told me this is what Burrow did and this is how Burrow looked, I would have checked the box on Burrow for like passing his year one. Like to Nick's point, it was a lot of volume, but I felt like there's enough there. And Hurley and I talked about this all the time when we were texting, like, wow, that Burrow looks good. I mean, on several occasions, we were impressed by the throws that he was making. We would be texting all. So I can't pinpoint exactly the plays and the games, but Hurley can attest frequently we were texting back and forth about how good Burrow looked. And it's more like the balls that he threw, not just, you know, for a full game, but just certain plays were just like wow plays. So, you know, for me, Burrow, if Justin Fields came in and did what Joe Burrow did in Cincy, I would be impressed, right?
So like here's just some context with the volume piece of it. To me, I'm not saying Joe Burrow's bad. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying in terms of where these other guys are, like where their ranking could be. But like Burrow had 114 more attempts and played in one more game than Tua. Now I know Tua was splitting time a little bit with Fitzpatrick, but that's 114 is a lot of attempts for one more game. Sam Darnold played in two more games. Now again, I think he got hurt a little bit too in some of those games. He had 40 more attempts. Darnold played in two more games and had 40 less attempts than Joe Burrow. That's a lot of passing. And for the numbers to not be great when you have a bigger sample size, that's what I'm like, I'm going to have him below Justin Fields and this other guy.
Yes and no. Like I said, I think if Cincy had a solid offensive line and Burrow had enough time to make wow throws, I think we would have been wowed. That's my personal opinion. I think his situation, I said it from, I think it was week one or two. I said if Cincy, I wouldn't be playing Burrow because they're going to get him hurt. Hurley, do you remember when I posted that tweet? I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was such a bad situation watching that game and how pathetic that offensive line was that I legitimately didn't think that he should be in the game. That's how bad it was, like throwing him into the wolves, dude.
So this is just one more talk on that and we can either move on or stay with it. It's up to you. Yeah. But so his 16 game pace for pass attempts, he would have had 646, which would have been 20 more than the NFL leader, Matt Ryan, for the season.
Yeah.
So that I'm just telling you, that's how much he's passed. That's what I'm talking about volume. Like, it was leading the league.
Bad quarterbacks don't lead. If you have a bad quarterback, if you think you have a bad quarterback, you don't lead the league in pass attempts.
No.
You know what I mean? All the good quarterbacks are the ones that lead the league in pass attempts. Even if you're a young player and you're trying to get developed, they don't give you the keys of the offense like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it went Matt Ryan,
yep.
Tom Brady, Big Ben, yep. Your boy, okay. Herbert, Mahomes, yep. Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray.
They're all good players.
Yep, yeah. You're right. Yep.
So I think like with Tua, I can't imagine even Tua and Cincy, they would be comfortable with Tua. I think Tua looked pretty cheeks this year. So I don't think Tua and Cincy would have gotten the volume that Joe Burrow got. But I digress. Let's move on. Hurley, you said Burrow at three as well?
Yeah, I've got Burrow at three because I think he'll recover to similar to where he was before his injury. And I think that's enough for me to feel good about him at three. And then number four, how deep do you guys want to go? We got top five, top seven. What do you think?
Let's just rank them all and get done.
Okay, so Waylon, you're up at number four. Who's your number four quarterback with the merge?
My number four is Tua. And statistically, he did worse than Joe Burrow. He didn't get hurt, though, so that's kind of what makes it somewhat even for me. I mean, because major injuries are things. I know people are like, oh, it's just this. But, like, Todd Gurley just tore an ACL, and then Todd Gurley's knee, like, just deteriorated. You know, I mean, so... in that situation in Miami, I thought it was interesting how it was dealt with going back and forth with the quarterbacks. I think Fitzpatrick outplayed Tua. I don't know that that's really Tua's fault. I mean, Fitzpatrick's been in the NFL for a long time. I think he's been underrated, honestly. But then when you think of Miami, their weapons aren't great, but they have a lot of picks here to now finally surround them. I mean, when your running back is Myles Gaskin, I mean, come on. You know, Preston Williams tore an ACL. You know, it's Parker and Gesicki. I mean, it's just not a lot there. You're hoping Jakeem Grant can win. So I think that they could spend some picks on some weapons, running back and receivers. And that team, I mean, I'm a big Buffalo fan, but man, Miami they're starting to roll. I mean, they have a lot of good young talent. And I think that you pair up some, I mean, if you get Ja'Marr Chase and someone else with Tua, we're going to be pretty excited.
Are they the 2021 Browns?
Yeah. They won, what, 9 games?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, so that's part of it too. I think that that's going to be ascending along with Tua. And I think his mental makeup is really, really good.
I agree. I think Dolphins fans got to be pretty excited about what's going on. So
see, I don't know. I you know, the one thing that stood out to me with him is that he said in an interview that he doesn't think he'll ever be the same. And it's weird to hear a player be pessimistic on his own situation, given that he got hurt 6 months prior. Like, it was only 6 months ago, and he already feels in his mind that he'll never be the same quarterback. You rarely see quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks, being pessimistic about themselves. I've never heard it.
Maybe he meant it in a good way, is he? Like, he'll never be the same. He'll always be better.
No, dude.
I'm going to go with that.
So, yeah, I mean, it's things like that. He just doesn't, to me, like, it's hard to explain the it factor, right? The it. I don't see the it with Tua. There wasn't any game, he didn't make like a sick you know, fourth quarter comeback. Like, there was nothing where I can be like, okay, I'm seeing something that Tua could be legit long term. Like,
did you miss the national championship game his freshman year when he looks off the safety and throws a touchdown to Devonta to win the national championship?
Sure, but that was in college.
Oh, you're talking NFL. Okay.
I'm talking this year. I'm saying the it factor for this year. Like, I didn't see the it factor. Now, here's the thing. I might be being too harsh on him because of the hip injury and all of that, but I just feel like if he's not 100% and Fitzpatrick is in the playoff hunt, if he's not ready to go, then he shouldn't be playing. So I have a hard time believing that he wasn't ready physically. I just don't understand why, if he's not physically ready, he's not redshirted. And a lot of people say, the hip injury. Dude, they had Fitzpatrick, and there were, I think, 4-3 at the time. And Fitzpatrick was playing well. Why would you pull him? And they had just won.
I think, Izzy, you answered your own question. You said that Tua himself said that he'll probably never be the same. So I think he's gotten to a point where he is not really ready, but I don't think he'll ever really be fully ready. Like, this is going to be what he is.
Why wouldn't they wait? So, okay, so if that's the case, then I'm way down on him. Like, if that's actually what happened, then I'm super down on him.
Just physically. Like, he can progress as a player still.
But here's the theory. Maybe Tua was played this season to find out if they need to draft a quarterback.
Yep.
So they're like, we need longer sample size. We don't know how good he's going to be. We don't know how good that hip is going to recover. We think he's pretty close to what he's going to end up being. Let's find out what we have. And to be honest with you, if I'm the franchise, I'm doing everything I can to trade Tua to get Watson.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sick.
Everything I can to get Watson for Tua, based on what I saw. But
would you take a later first and maybe a third for Tua, and you take a quarterback at three?
I wouldn't take a. I would try to get you. Like you said, Miami was a good team with Fitzpatrick and Tua. You know, if they can get Deshaun Watson, that's a contender.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm asking another scenario. Would you take your third best rookie this year and deal off Tua and get a first?
You're resetting. I don't like the resetting the deck with unknowns. But you kind of already know it.
Yeah, but if they viewed him and they're like, hey, I don't think he's the franchise guy, why would you not do that?
Sure. That would be one of my least favorite ideas, just because what you're doing is, we know what Tua is. He's likely going to be serviceable, but he's not going to be the reason you win a championship. But I don't think he's going to be a reason why your franchise sputters. I think he's going to be a meh quarterback for his career.
So here's my question.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just don't think resetting the deck and taking another dice roll, not knowing what you're going to do, given the situation that Miami's in, where they just need a quarterback, in my opinion, and maybe a couple ancillary pieces. But I just don't think that's the play, is to get the third best quarterback in the draft, or assuming that they go 1-2 this year. Mm-hmm. With Fields and Lawrence. So if you're going, if you're Zach Wilson's your guy, if Mac Jones is your guy, which would be super high for him, if Trey Lance is your guy, I just don't like the resetting of the deck.
So,
and just taking another random player.
So Tua, I did this as a study. Tua did slightly worse, I would guess, overall than Burrow. And Burrow just tore his ACL, ripped up his knee.
I don't think so, man.
You don't think Burrow just ripped up his knee?
Dude, no, I'm saying Tua was the least pressured quarterback in the league.
What was his pocket time? Was it because he was checking down? But again, I'm a little bit on the Waylon side, because I know how horribly inefficient his wide receivers were. They just could not get open. The line was doing really well, but his wide receivers were awful. And like, obviously, like Waylon pointed out, his running game wasn't exactly excellent either, so...
I mean, you would easily take Cincinnati's weapons over Miami's weapons. It's not even a conversation.
Yeah, but I'd also rather... I think for quarterbacks, offensive line to me is greater than wide receivers. If you give a good quarterback an offensive line with meh receivers, they'll get it done. If you give a good quarterback a really, really bad offensive line, it's going to be harder for him to get it done.
Well, yeah, that's obvious. But what's the offensive line rankings? Do we know that?
No, I don't have it pulled up.
I'm just saying, to me, you came after me saying, hey, I should be giving Herbert more benefit because I was down on Burrow for his rookie year. If Tua and Burrow's rookie years are almost the same. Burrow's slightly above with better weapons, as we can acknowledge. How can you just be like, I'm done with Tua? But Burrow, I like Burrow's potential. To me, that's
the context. The context isn't the same. Like Tua and Cincy, you put Tua and Cincy, and it's a shit show.
Why?
Because I don't see he didn't do anything for me to be like, wow. There was nothing wow about him. If he gets
the ball out on time and he's got great weapons like he had Alabama, it looked like it was a really good recipe for success.
Yeah, I didn't see an Alabama Tua. That's what I'm saying. There was no Alabama Tua for me.
That sounds like some sort of like terrible like sex product. I'm gonna go to the store and get me an Alabama Tua because I'm feeling lonely.
Hold on, let me see what his.
And how about age? Is age a thing with you either, Izzy? I mean, Tua is 22 and Burrow just turned 24.
No, I mean that was a big thing with Darnold, and he got screwed with the situation too. But
who's still younger than Burrow, by the way, Darnold.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of good quarterbacks that have been young and they developed. There's a lot of good quarterbacks that were older and still performed. I believe you may be able to correct me on this. Dak was a 24-year-old rookie as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't think it's a death sentence for you to be an old quarterback. So his pressure percentage was his pocket time was 2.3%. Fitzpatrick's was 2.2%.
How about ranks though? Like give us ranks. That doesn't mean a lot.
Oh, that's going to be in the bottom five. But once again, this is about mixing, getting the ball out and pressure, because the bottom five outside of Fitzpatrick, because he actually got pressured a lot. So he was 2.2% pocket time. But he got pressured 21% of his snaps.
Tua, so he's checkdowning. Tua's checkdowning, you're saying.
Yes. I think that's how you can, if you look at Fitzpatrick being 2.2 seconds per pocket time and having a 21% pressure rate, and you look at Tua having a 2.3% pocket time and having a 13% pressure rate, I feel like that is Tua just getting the ball out quickly, where Fitzpatrick is more actually trying to move the ball, to take shots down the field. You know, he puts himself in maybe, you know, not the most advantageous situations, but he's trying to do more than just check the ball down. And that's what I saw out of Tua. There's just a lot of checkdowns, and that's not the same with comparing Burrow and Tua. I just don't see how that's the same. Because if you look at like the intended pass yard per attempt, Joe Burrow was top 10. And you look at Tua, he was 24th. So it's just like they're doing, how they were playing was completely different. It felt like Dolphins were protecting Tua, or maybe the offense was trying to be as vanilla as possible for him, just trying to get him confidence. I don't know. It looked like Cincinnati basically said, okay, Joe, here are the keys. Do whatever you want. You're a quarterback. Where Tua was a little bit more coddled and looked after, in a sense.
So I have a big point here. I think that's going to put a dagger into this whole debate.
Yeah.
PFF, people love, people hate. Okay. Their final offensive line rankings. Okay.
Hey, I don't love PFF, but yeah.
Well, it's an unbiased measurement here, right? For grading.
Yeah, there's some goofy stuff with PFF that we see all the time. It makes no sense, but I'd like to hear it. I'm curious.
Okay. Cincinnati's 30th in terms of offensive line ranking. Only the LA Chargers were 32nd, by the way, which is interesting for, you know, Herbert. Could get better. The Giants were 31. So since he was 30, and we can agree, you know, Burrow did not have a good offensive line. Where do you think Miami ranked in the list?
Based on Fitzpatrick's numbers, if Fitzpatrick and Tua would have had similar numbers, I would have said somewhere in the top half. But based on Fitzpatrick's getting the ball out quick but still getting pressured, I'd say they're 25 to 27.
And I'll say, Waylon, is this a combined ranking or is it specifically pass?
It's combined. It's combined. But I think that's a factor too, because that would affect how good the run game is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the run game actually wasn't that bad.
Before you ask the question, Waylon, the way you're asking it makes me want to change my mind, but I would have said they're top five just from seeing them, but I'm really curious to see what they are.
Yeah.
It can't, based on Fitzpatrick, it can't be top five.
Yeah. So since he was 30 and Miami was 28, which is
bad,
almost the same. So now when we look at Tyler Boyd is better than anything Miami had. Higgins was better than anything that Miami had. I mean, Gesicki's better than the tight end that Cincy had. Mixon, not doing great, is still better than Gaskin. So, I mean, when you look at this combined, I don't know how we can say, wow, Burrow was in this, like, terrible situation, and Tua was in this, like, great one, and he didn't thrive. Like, that's, I can't see it.
But you're talking about Burrow having, let me put this into perspective quick, too. So, intended air yards, right? So, his ADOT, Joe Burrow was top 10, considering at the 30th offensive line, 30th ranked offensive line. To put it in perspective, Herbert's was 25th, and Tua's was 24th. So their intended air yards were significantly lower than Burrow. So Burrow was actually taking shots both in the pocket and down the field. You look at the players that surround Joe Burrow, they're all of the elite quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like outside of Drew Locke, who's actually third. third elite. In the league, which is amazing. Carson Wentz is actually fourth. But look at, those are the guys that are taking shots.
So he's surrounded by such good company. Isn't
yeah,
he?
But the other eight out of the 10 are elite. But so I look at this and say, okay, Burrow's has a, you said the Giants were 31?
Correct.
Daniel Jones was 23rd. So 23rd was Daniel Jones, 24th was Tua, Justin Herbert was 25th. These are guys that are not driving the ball down the field, which makes sense because their offensive lines are terrible. Joe Burrow got hurt because he's taking shots down the field. But wouldn't have gotten hurt if he was checked down Charlie the whole season.
His yards per attempt was only 0.4 higher than Tua.
Yeah, but that's completed, right? This is intended. I'm talking about intended.
Exactly, which is the point. You want to complete passes.
I know, but this is where the offensive line plays into this equation.
Weapons don't
affect
that?
Because if you're not... No,
You throw it up, who's going to catch it? AJ Green, Nick, when Boyd, or Higgins over Parker? Who's going to catch it more?
AJ Green is washed. But anyways, AJ Green is washed regardless.
He's better than
I'm trying to put into... Once again, Nick, this is about if you're being pressured, do you think your completion percentage down the field will be higher or lower?
So here's... I understand your point, okay? But if Tua was not pressured, okay?
I know, but people complain about people checking down and not taking shots. If Burrow, you take into context that Burrow is taking shots down the field and he's not completing them, we can look at his offensive line rank and his pressure percentage and how often he got hit and determine it makes sense that the reason why these passes aren't being completed at a higher rate is because of the pressure. That's how
there's one other factor. There's one other factor here.
Yeah.
Throwing the ball on time. Tua was really efficient with throwing the ball on time. I think Burrow tries to make more happen than needs to be there. That affects being hit. That affects, you talked about pressure rate was 11, but sack percentage was 27th. You know what I mean? So 27th most. So to me, throwing the ball on time is something here that is a difference. Because if the offensive line is still crap for Tua, but pressure rate was low, one, two, three, throw. You know what I mean? So that's something else to think of. And again, I need to watch the tape, but I'm just saying we can't just say Burrow still could be great and Tua could be trash when they're almost equal on paper.
Tua to me is going to be Bridgewater Jr. Like that's what we're looking at with him. Like he's going to be another Teddy Bridgewater. That's what he looks like to me. And that's fine. Like it's a fine quarterback, but it ain't a quarterback that I would want in fantasy.
JP.
But let's continue.
Who won, JP?
There's some compelling things. I think Izzy's dismissing a lot of things with Tua. I'm on Team Burrow because I think he's got that ceiling that Tua doesn't have. But I'm more optimistic with Tua, but I'm not as confident as you are, Waylon. And I'm focusing on what Tua is saying and what Tua is doing. Like he specifically said that I don't have an open receiver, and like the. If we're going to use PFF, their grades are saying their receivers can't get open. So I'm focused on that. I think if he gets some weapons, this is a different conversation.
To be continued.
Tua, be continued.
So yeah, so you have, so I'll just say I have Fields at four. So we'll kind of rip through this. I have Fields at four. And then you said, Nick, you had two at four.
Yep.
And then I'm guessing you have maybe Burrow at five.
I have just a...
Oh, yeah, Hurley, yeah.
JP,
I have Fields
here
at four. I struggle between Tua and Fields, but again, I'm not as confident in the ceiling as Waylon is, but I'm optimistic. I actually got a lot of Tua in my draft somehow. I just happened to be in that position, so I'm hoping Nick is right. I'm a little bit less confident about it, but in fact, I was trying to shop him around in a couple of my leagues, but... so yeah, let's go on five. So do you have Burrow at five, Waylon, or somebody else?
Yeah, I have Burrow there. Do you guys want to talk about him?
No.
I think we've burrowed ourselves a hole with that topic. Yeah.
But I think it was a good conversation.
No, it's good. It's good for sure.
Yeah.
My five is Zach Wilson. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but at this point I'm looking at them saying, I know I saw enough of Tua to say from a fantasy perspective, I don't see the ceiling. I don't see him being a QB1 in fantasy. So for me, I'd rather have the two in the bush with Zach Wilson and roll the dice and see what he's made out of, as opposed to Tua. So that's more what it has to do with than Zach Wilson being significantly better than Tua. I don't love the... I only saw one game of Zach Wilson, and I haven't gone back and watched everything of Zach. So I can't really put the stamp of approval on it, but I'm just looking at it purely from where he's going to likely be drafted in the NFL draft, the things that I'm reading about him, and what I've seen from Tua has Wilson ahead of Tua for me. So this isn't something that I'm going to die on this hill with, but the initial reaction is Wilson ahead of Tua.
So at his merge QB5, Izzy has Wilson. So Izzy's got Zach in the hand at five, and I've got Tua in the bush. I think that's pretty easy for me. So I got Tua behind Fields just barely. Waylon, who do you got at six?
Wilson there. Yeah. And I'm with Izzy. I'm not crazy on Zach Wilson. I see the upside. He's a very confident guy, but I also see some really inconsistencies too. So yeah, I'm not going to die on that hill either.
Izzy, what do you got at six?
I have Hurts here. Almost by default. I think Trey Lance is a guy that is, the upside is mouthwatering, I'll agree. But I think the downside, if you look at all the guys on this list, he has the biggest upside downside delta. It's just
boomer bust.
I don't know. Big time. Like, and it's not necessarily his fault. There's just so many things that play into it. And a lot of people, when Carson Wentz was good, pointed to Trey and said, you know, you look at what Carson Wentz did and he came out of that college, but now Carson Wentz might not even have a job. So it's Hurts by default. I don't even love Hurts. And it's funny, like, I'm not putting Tua last. I'm still putting Tua, just to give you a heads up, I'm putting Tua ahead of Lance, but Tua is still behind Hurts. It really came down to, do I have Hurts ahead of Tua? Or am I going with the project and Lance ahead of Tua? But the gap between Lance and the delta between him being elite and really bad is just, it's so much potential there for either direction. So I'm going Hurts, Tua, Lance to round it out.
Oh, Izzy's finishing his. So I guess we'll all,
just because we're getting tight. Hurts, Tua, Lance. Yeah.
I have Wilson at six, and I finish off with Hurts and then Lance. I've got Lance last, and it's probably because of the reasons that you're saying, Izzy, but I liked what I saw in Hurts, but I've got him towards the bottom because his situation is relatively volatile with Peterson leaving. I have no idea who the quarterback of the Eagles is going to be next year. Like, no clue. I think that the Eagles moving away from Peterson could have been a move for keeping Carson happy. I don't know. I have no idea.
And, you know, I did read something that they were talking about. They were trying to get a coach that could bring back Carson Wentz, right?
That's kind of what I'm thinking they're trying to do, but I don't understand what's going on. So that makes me concerned for Hurts. I moved him down towards the bottom, but I'd rather have what I've seen from Hurts than the unknown with Lance, like what he's going to become. So Waylon, you've got two left, one left, two left, two left.
I have four more listed, but I think the reason, well, I think there was a fun debate to learn a lot. I think the reason why I debated this so hard with you, Izzy, is that you have Burrow 3 and you have Tua 7. And that's the issue. Mm-hmm. I think that they're almost equal. I can see having Burrow slightly ahead of him. I don't think that's a big issue, but having this big, like, you know, the general consensus right now is like Tua's terrible and like Burrow's a franchise quarterback. And like, I think they're almost equal because, like,
I don't think the general consensus that Tua's terrible.
Huh?
I think people are giving Tua the benefit of the doubt.
I don't think they are.
I think I'm in the minority. Yeah. And to why I have Tua or Burrow at 3 and Tua at 7 is purely based on fantasy upside. I don't think Tua is a QB1 potential quarterback. I think he's going to be a Teddy Bridgewater type, which is fine. From an NFL perspective, it's okay. That's what I think. If he becomes that, that's where I think, I don't want to say it's his ceiling, because I think it'd be, after 10 games, it's hard to say that's somebody's ceiling, but I just see a Teddy Bridgewater type. With Burrow, the upside is there for me. Like, I can see a top 5 dynasty quarterback. I don't see that with Tua, which is why I have some of these other guys ahead of Tua, because I'm chasing the next, I want to get the next top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You know, or the next top 5 quarterback. I don't see that with Tua, so he falls down my list in favor of these other guys that have the potential. And Hurts for me is very iffy.
Well, so my issue with that one, and I'll finish out. I have Trey Lance, who is not a finished product for me. I mean, he played at North Dakota State, and I think people don't think about North Dakota State as much as they should. I mean, they're a better version of like an Alabama at their level. I mean, they've won so many national titles in a row. I think they've won like 8 of 9 or something crazy like that. I mean, they have powerhouse players year in and year out, which helps in terms of talent and offensive line. Like, all the things that we were talking about is what they have. So that's how they had Carson Wentz, and they have, you know, kind of continual good talent there. So I have Trey Lance. I mean, I like, because he can run, he's got a big arm. I just don't see multiple reads from him. I need to see more from his game. Then I have Mac Jones, and then I have Jalen Hurts. The reason I have Hurts there is
I forgot to put Mac Jones on my list.
Yeah, and the last one is Kyle Trask. But the reason why I've Hurts a little bit lower is because we're going to need, in my mind, they brought in their new head coach to fix Wentz, like you guys are saying, and they're going to give Wentz, I think, 2 years. And that's it. So Hurts is going to not have a lot of value for 2 years. You can get him much cheaper, I think, than all these other people that are going to get starting jobs, and I think that has to go into this value calculation.
Yeah, I think you're right. Just to put Mac in, I have Mac Jones ahead of Tua as well. So Tua falls to 8. And I think you bring up a good. So Hurts and Lance for me are no matter how I break this, Hurts and Lance will be my bottom two. And the more I think about it, Nick, I think you bring up a good point. I'm not a big Hurts fan. I know people got excited about Hurts. I don't think he played all that incredible. So I can see Lance being out of Hurts. I'll just put them in a tier together, and I don't really want either one of them. But I guess if I'm rolling the dice, maybe I should probably roll the dice with Lance and in the potential upside. So I have no issue putting Hurts last for the couple of things that you mentioned. Carson Wentz could be the starter there again, and now he's a backup, where Lance may be put in a situation where he's starting before Hurts next year. So, yeah, I wrote down all these players and I forgot to put in Mac Jones because I just went off the list that Hurley sent me.
Who?
Mac Jones.
Nice. And I think that's a good spot to end it too. That's what we got for the quarterback rundown. I think this will be a fun project to do week to week for different positions, because it's kind of fun to merge these two classes just to see where we have them ranked pre-draft. And obviously post, like I said, I don't think combine's happening, but post NFL draft, and when all these landing spots change, all these rankings will change. Maybe we'll have to do a revisit after the NFL draft just to see where we differ. I was going to recap each of our picks, but
Let's do it quick. I'll just rip through mine.
Okay, good. Because you changed a bunch of yours, so you can run through yours, and I'll do.
I'll go. So I have Herbert 1, Lawrence 2, Burrow 3, Fields 4, Wilson 5. Mac 6, Tua 7. So I still have Tua at 7. So you said that I had him at 7. I actually had him at 6 initially.
Okay.
Waylon. And then Hurts and Lance said, I don't care.
Got it. Waylon, I've got yours written down, but
let me go through.
Did you have Lance at 7 and Mac at 8?
I'll just go through them quick.
Okay, go ahead.
So I got Lawrence at 1, Herbert at 2. Which actually, that was a good debate. I think that could be a lot closer in my mind after. But especially when looking at Herbert's offensive line, I didn't realize they were 32nd. Fields at 3, Tua at 4, Burrow at 5, Wilson at 6, Lance at 7, Mac at 8, Hurts at 9, Kyle Trask at 10.
Cool. And mine were, it's kind of funny, we all had some differences at each position, but each ranking. I had Trevor, Herbert, Burrow, Fields, Tua at 5, Wilson at 6, and then I switched Mac in once Waylon brought him up to 7, moved him ahead of Hurts. And then same thing with Izzy, Trey Lance and Jalen Hurts, I don't care, 8, 9, interchangeable. I might even just go Lance because of what Waylon said, so I'll put Hurts at dead last.
Yeah, you brought up a good point.
Yeah, it's a really good point. It's a messed up situation there right now. And I'm on team Wentz. I think that's where the money is, at least, and you got to follow the money, right? So that's it. That's what we got. Again, maybe we'll do running back next week, and we'll just keep breaking down a position week to week until we run out of positions to cover, all the way down to like kickers, because everybody does kicker drafts, right? That's all we got. Tune in next time for episode number 200. There's going to be fireworks and lots of cool things. Fingers being blown off. Go out and get yourself an Alabama Tua. In the meantime, keep yourself happy. Thank you for listening. We'll check you guys later. Bye. Let's go.